It's time again to join the American Forum of the Air. Each week at this time, the National Broadcasting Company, as a public service, presents the American Forum of the Air, dedicated to the full and public discussion of all sides of all issues vital to you and your country. By buying United States defense bonds, you can become a partner with Uncle Sam in building America's security, thus backing up our military and production efforts. Remember, peace is for the strong. Invest more in defense bonds. This week, the American Forum of the Air comes to you from the site of the National Political Conventions in Chicago, Illinois. We bring you a discussion of the topic, How to Pick a Winner, based on an article appearing in the current issue of Reader's Digest, one of America's leading magazines. Here with us to discuss this topic are Albert Ab Herman, Executive Director of the Republican National Committee, Archibald Crosley, President of Crosley Incorporated, Public Opinion Analysts and President of the American Association for Public Opinion Research, Elmo Roper, Commentator and Public Opinion Analyst, and Mrs. India Edwards, Vice Chairman of the Democratic National Committee. And now, here is the founder and moderator of the American Forum of the Air, Theodore Granick.
Even as the boisterous echoes of the Republican convention subside, Chicago readies for another, perhaps noisier, conclave. In another week, the Democrats will converge on this convention city to nominate their presidential ticket. Now, what is it that wins or loses elections? What are the factors which will determine victory or defeat in November? An article in the July issue of Reader's Digest, America's leading magazine, claims that as far as 1952 is concerned, the Democrats already have the edge. But the Democrats start off the campaign with more electoral votes and party voters than the Republicans. Now, Ab Herman, your GOP convention exposed a bitter factional split. Do you think the breach has harmed Republican chances for victory in November?
No, Mr. Granick, I do not. I've always been one of those Republicans who believe that a good, vigorous primary contest is helpful to victory in November.
Well, Mr. Roper, I'm sorry.
Well, I think the answer to that question depends a little bit on a decision that Mr. Eisenhower is faced with, General Eisenhower. It seems to me that he's got to decide whether he wants to put forth his chief efforts to reconcile the old two factions that fought it out here at this convention, or whether he wants to say in a sense that he's going to try to build a new Republican Party, using as the nucleus the internationalist liberal wing of the party which nominated him, and then merging with that the independents who seem inclined, those independents who do seem inclined to vote Republican, plus the Democrats who feel that they'd like to shop around a bit this year.
Mrs. Edwards, do you want to comment on that?
Well, I just wonder what makes Mr. Roper think that there are a lot of Democrats who want to shop around this year. I haven't encountered any. They may want to shop around right in the Democratic Party, but they haven't indicated to me that they're going to shop in the other party.
Mr. Crosley, you want a word there?
Well, I don't think it's a question, Mrs. Edwards, of shopping around. It's a matter of shifting of rather definite feeling. I don't think there's any question from any of the polls that have been taken that there are those who have been Democratic in the past that will turn to Eisenhower now.
I'd like to say, Mr. Granick, in response to Mr. Roper, that the question of getting the both sides of ours together is one of strategy. While, of course, we did have a very vigorous contest, the basic difference between the organization and individuals involved is not so great. I believe with the right decisions made by the Eisenhower High Command in conjunction with Senator Taft's group, that it'll be possible to organize them into a just as vigorous organization
as a one united party, you think,
as we had right here in Chicago this time.
Mr. Roper,
do you think the precinct workers in Ohio will work just as hard to get out the vote for Eisenhower as they would for Taft had he been?
Yes, they're disappointed at the present time. Naturally, they were tremendously interested in Mr. Taft, not only in Ohio but many other places. But they've been through many of these contests. I was delighted to note their vigor, because being an organizational man or an organizer, and being a campaign manager, it always was a great deal of delight to me to...
You handled six of them in Jersey, didn't you, Ab?
Yes, I did, I'm happy to say. But the vigor of that primary, because throughout America, or throughout the United States today, in our primaries, our party showed evidence of breaking all records, getting into the box, which is a good indication that we're straining and trying to flex our muscles. And this was simply a preliminary workout to what we hope will be in November a Republican victory.
Mr. Crosby, you want to weigh
in? I think, Mr. Herman, there's something I could add to that. We have asked, and I guess all the poll takers have asked questions about who the second choice would be. And it's been very interesting to me to find out that there's been a rather strong second choice for Eisenhower among the Taft people, and, of course, vice versa. It is my impression from such work which we have done, that which has been pretty much of a testing nature up to now, that quite a few of the people who formerly have been for Taft will swing to Eisenhower.
I don't doubt it a bit.
Mrs. Edwards, what must the Democrats now do if they expect to defeat the Eisenhower-Nixon ticket?
Well, the first thing that we have to do, we're going to do next week, and that is to name very fine candidates.
I don't want to get you out on a limb, but who should we name?
I am neutral, and we have a wealth of material. Luckily, we don't even have just two to choose from, as apparently the Republicans did. But I think that we will name a candidate who will run on the record of the Democratic Party of the last 20 years. And that record, plus a vigorous, hard-hitting campaign, and a clean campaign, I might add, I know is going to win for the Democrats.
You mean a clean primary campaign, or both?
I mean a clean national campaign.
Mr. Crosley, did you want to come in there? Mr. Roper.
Well, going back for a moment, Mrs. Edwards, we find that about 9 percentage points of the 50 percentage points who are Democrats say they're strongly considering voting Republican. The point I'd like to make is that even if all of them did, and if all of the people who like to call themselves Republicans voted Republican, all of them, and if the 9 percentage points, or more than half of all the people who call themselves independents, if all of them did follow their pre-convention intentions and vote Republican, it would give the Republicans 49% of the total vote,
not quite
51.
Enough. Mrs. Edwards, you want to comment on just what is meant by the independent voter? How is his decision likely to affect the November result? Would you gentlemen care to comment on that?
Well, the independent voter is a rather misunderstood creature, I think. We're inclined to appraise him in two ways. First place, we ask people what they like to call themselves, what they consider themselves, Democrats, Republicans, or Independents. And then we go back 20 years in their voting habits, if they've been voting 20 years, or if they're youngsters, we go back 4 or 8 years. Then we check the way they voted with what they call themselves, and make adjustments where they have perhaps called themselves Democrats, and we find that they voted Republican half the time. We make that adjustment. But when we make the adjustment of the voting record against what they call themselves, we find 16% who are, in fact, independents, in that they sometimes vote one way, sometimes another.
Where will the independents go, Mrs. Edwards?
Well, the independents in the last 5 presidential elections have voted in the Democratic Party. There isn't any question about that. I think that both Mr. Crosley and Mr. Roper will agree on that, and I would suppose Mr. Herman will, too.
Will you do that, Ab?
Well, I will say this, in all fairness to India, the records reveal that in the last presidential campaign, the independents did fairly well move into the Democratic box, but we took great hope, Ted, out of the congressional campaign of 1950, where in California, for instance, there's over a million, I believe, Democrats more votes registered than there are Republicans, yet Governor Warren defeated the Democratic opponent by over a million votes. We saw the same thing in the state of Maryland and many other places. And I believe that if there is such a thing as an independent vote, that it's moving towards the Republican Party. And if we can present the issues properly in November with the outstanding candidate that we have and with a tremendous new Republican organization at the precinct levels throughout the country, that we will meet the challenge successfully come November.
Mrs. Edwin?
Well, would it be out of order if I should ask Mr. Herman what the
Everything's
issues
in order.
Are? He said if they present the issues, I just wonder what you think they are, what General Eisenhower feels the issues are. Because I have, frankly, haven't seen anything that he has said or not heard him say anything that would indicate that he is
well,
aware
India,
of what
India,
the issues
India, of course,
are.
He was just nominated a day or two ago, but just...
Well, but he's been running for a long time.
But just to refresh your memory, of course, we could mention, shall we say, high taxes and high prices and corruption in government, the question of our foreign policy, the question of on domestic issues. I think come November we will have the issues pretty well spelled out so the American people will have a good place to go.
Do you think the American people object to paying high taxes when they know what they're paying them for, when they realize that they're paying high taxes for security? A man said to me the other day, yes, taxes are high, but I'd rather pay high taxes and have 62 million people gainfully employed than to pay no taxes and have 13 million walking the streets looking for jobs.
Don't you think
that's the way people feel?
Yes, if you just stop right there. But I think that the average good American taxpayer who's meeting these taxes at the present time, India, feel that if you can do it for $50 billion, they want it done.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that, but and I think economy is something that must be practiced in government, that is practiced in government, I might add. I have been very interested in the claims that your candidate has made as to how much he will be able to cut the budget. I don't believe he's going to have the chance to do it, but I would like to see him have the chance on that.
Well, I think with November, India, and with the election of a Republican House and Senate.
You expect to elect the Republican House and Senate, Ab?
Oh, yes, Ted. This is our year. This is the year of decision as far as we
Well, now let's go to the poll experts. Mr. Crossley, just what is the key to picking a winner?
Well, of course, I'm very hip, Mr. Garnick, on the subject of turnout. I think the whole question is going to be settled by who turns out. We've got a situation where only about half, a little over half, 52.6% of the eligible people in the United States actually turned out in 48. And that's quite a problem. It's a situation that has been going down. There are fewer people voting today than there were. It's a question of which side is going to turn out. That's our biggest problem in polling.
It's our biggest problem, too, is to get the vote out. That's the thing we work on 365 days a year.
If only in 1948, 10% fewer of Mr. Truman's supporters had turned out, and 8% more of Mr. Dewey's supporters had turned out, Elmo and I would have had no problem. We would have been absolutely on the nose.
Is it likely to be true this year that the...
Probably Mr. Crosley's raising it. If we had got 5,000 more votes in Ohio, we would have had their electoral votes, and another 30,000 out of Illinois, we would have been all right, too. So you can't have a second choice now. It's too late.
That's right.
Well, is it likely to be true this year that the greater the total vote, the greater will be the Democratic chances for success, Mr. Crosley and Mr. Roper?
I don't think that's necessarily true, Mr. Granick. It was pretty true in 48, and it has been true for quite a time. The investigations of the 48 poll indicated rather clearly that, at least in certain states and counties that were investigated, the greater the turnout, the worse was Dewey's showing. Again, it's a question entirely of who comes out, how many come out on each side.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Is that what you want to comment on that?
Well, of course, I believe that if every eligible voter went to the polls, the Democrats would still win. I think there are more people in the country
that
who are Democratic.
I would answer that slightly differently from what Mr. Crosley did, too. I think that the chances are that the more people who go to the polls, the greater are the Democrats' chances of victory. Now, there can be an exception to that, given a dramatic personality on the opposite side. Come from the same walks of life and the same economic level and the same educational level and express the same general ideas on issues as do the Democrats.
What about the power of the women in the vote? You know, Mrs. Edwards has been mentioned as a possible vice presidential candidate for Democrats this year. Now, what do you think of the selection of a woman on the ticket? What chances for victory there?
Well, I don't know whether...
You shouldn't embarrass these gentlemen by asking them that when I'm sitting right here. I think
we
that's
had
a little hard
had
on them.
An excellent suggestion on our team, Margaret Chase Smith of Maine, who, in my judgment, had
May
been an
I
excellent
add
selection.
That you would have had a much stronger ticket if you had nominated Margaret Chase
Smith. Do you think the ticket of the Democratic Party would be strong with you on it as Vice President, Ms. Edwards?
Well, Ted, you know I'm not going to make a remark like that about myself to start with. I, being vice chairman of the Democratic Committee, can have no candidate for president or vice president, and I am not campaigning for myself.
Well, we've
I'm
gotten a lot of letters
honored.
From delegates all over the country
honored.
Urging that you be nominated.
There are women's organizations in 29 states that are trying to have my name put in nomination, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about all the women who are voting, that 1.5 million more than men who are going to get out this year and really show what they can do.
What are they going to show? Which way are they going to vote?
Well, there are going to be a lot of them that are going to vote Republican, of course, but I think more of them are going to vote Democratic. I don't ever want to see the time when women vote as a bloc any more than men. It would be a very sad thing if we had women pitted against men. We don't want a battle of the sexes in politics any more than in anything else.
Ted, getting back to the two gentlemen, the pollsters, in 1950, you recall, they said that if we got a high vote out, of course, that it would be a Democratic vote. But we had the highest vote in an off year in the history of the party, and the results in our congressional election speaks for itself. And I think, as Mr. Crossley said before, it's all according to who comes out and what kind of organization operation brings the vote out. And that, Mr. Crossley, is the reason we feel this year, and we have no illusions about it, because we learned in 1948 that there can be illusions. But the Republican Party learned, too, that they cannot coast uphill, as we tried to do in 48. But the big lesson they learned is there is no substitute for victory. And on that whole basis has been our reorganization of the Republican Party at the precinct level.
In a moment, we will return to our discussion of elections and how to win them. But first, here is an important message.
Here in Chicago this month, America and the world are witnessing two great American institutions, the Republican and Democratic conventions. Here, the world is seeing the kind of freedom that Americans firmly intend to keep. In true American tradition, each national convention will be marked by differences in opinions, flaring tempers, and heated debates. While having a difference of opinion certainly isn't exclusively an American trait, America is one of the few places in the world today where each citizen has the right to express and debate his opinion freely and openly in the selection of the men who will lead our nation. Now, one of the great dangers to all free men, and this applies to you and to me, one of the great dangers is carelessness. The very fact that we have always had freedom might cause us to take freedom for granted. Now, if each of us will only realize that our freedom can be lost, that our freedom can be stolen, we will better understand the grave responsibility you and I have next November the 4th in selecting the leaders we believe best qualified to ensure American freedom. Now, the National Broadcasting Company returns you to the American Forum of the Air.
Now let's get back to our discussion of the election campaign. Mr. Roper, you poll takers really took a drubbing in 48. Now, can a public opinion poll do as good a job of forecasting results as a top-notch political observer?
Well, that's a difficult question. I think that one difficulty in answering it is that there's always going to be some one top political forecaster who's right on every election. And obviously, the polls haven't been right on every election. I think their record of achievement, however, has been better than that of any one political forecaster, because of the of the hundreds of municipal and state and national elections that have been predicted by the Gallup organization and Mr. Crosley here and our own organization, we've only been wrong on one. Now, that record, I believe, is unmatched by anybody except Mr. Farley. I do think Mr. Farley was an extremely sagacious political forecaster. But by and large, I'd say political... The polls will have a better percentage over a 20-year period than any one.
Mrs. Edwards has a very sweet smile about that. Go ahead, Mrs. Edwards.
Well, I was just thinking that, of course, the poll takers are scientific, and presumably their hearts don't enter into it. Now, with a political prognosticator, I don't believe he can help but be influenced by wishful thinking. Although I must say that in 1948, after traveling throughout the United States, that is, except in a few states with President Truman, I was convinced that he was going to win. But there weren't very many of us who felt that way.
Very frosty, even in the Democratic High Command.
Of course, I often envy you people when it comes down to writing the final story, and we stick our necks out and we are basing our... results on the reports which we get from the cross-sections of American people. I wish sometimes that I could just sit down and collect some records from local politicians and others who have their fingers right on the pulse of the people who are going to go to the polls or the people who are not.
What are going to be the main issues? Now, you know, Mrs. Edwards, Mr. Herman?
Well, I think the main issue is that the Truman administration has kept us out of a third world war. We are not at peace, but we are on the road to peace. That is of paramount importance to all women. I think that they understand, a great many of them, why we're in Korea. There are some who spoke at the Republican convention that I'm sure did not understand and don't wish to understand. But I find that the average woman does understand. I think that the prosperity that the average American is enjoying, the educational opportunities that are open to the children, the health services that have been given in the last 20 years that have been arranged for children. I think that those are issues that appeal particularly to women. Now,
how important will civil rights be an issue in the campaign?
I think civil rights is an important issue. I think it's an important issue not just to the minorities, but to all fair-minded people. I think they are interested in civil rights.
Do you want
rights.
To comment on that?
And I feel that the Democratic platform will be as strong as it was in 48, and I think that is going to be a very great asset to the Democratic Party. And might I don't want to talk too long. Perhaps I should wait and let Ab talk, and then I will brief.
Ab, go ahead.
Come in with what I want to say.
Well, Indy is such a delightful talker, I pretty near convinces myself until we look at the record, Ted. Of course, you can't get away from the record. I don't want to remind this very gentle lady that the record on civil rights, of course, as far as the Fair Deal and the administration's concerned, is pretty sad. Now, for 20 years, we have heard the Democratic Party, the New Deal Party, whatever it wants to be called, that they are the great exponents of civil rights legislation. Well, for 20 years, they've been in power, and for 20 years, we have yet no legislation on the books. Ted, the 81st Congress was the first real test. Three times that question came before the 81st Congress for some degree of a solution in the Senate. And you will recall that in the 81st Congress there was 55 Democratic senators and 41 Republican senators. Twice the question came up on the one of cloture. Shall we vote on cloture, which of course shuts off the question of debate, so you can go on to civil rights legislation. Out of the 41 Republican senators, 33 of them voted in favor of cloture. Out of the 55 Democratic senators, the record shows that 16 of them voted for cloture. Now, I think the time has come when we're past the beautiful phrases in our platform, the beautiful expressions. The record is what the American people are looking for. And the three tests, I won't bore you with the other figures, but they're just about exactly alike. Three times the administration went up to bat, three times they struck out.
You want to answer that, Indy, before
yes.
I get to the polls?
Yes, I would like to. Two-thirds of the Republicans voted against civil rights. And everyone knows, I think, that it is the Republicans, the coalition of the Republicans and the Southern Democrats, who are frankly against civil rights. They walked out of the convention, some of them, in Philadelphia in 1948. But at least they are honest. The Republicans heretofore have claimed that they were for FEPC. But now, of course, they don't have to because they've changed their platform.
I'd like to ask you, go ahead. You can't get away from the record, India. The record shows.
I'll admit we haven't accomplished all that we wanted to in a legislative way, but a great deal has been accomplished in the civil rights field.
Mr. Crosby wants a word.
Yes. I'd like to ask you a question, Ms. Edwards. You made a statement a while back about the 1.5 million more women who are going to vote this year than men. Is that correct?
Well, that was not exactly. There are 1.5 million more women
of
voting age, yes.
Because,
and, of course, I hope they'll all vote, but I'm not sure they will.
Because
I
the hope fact be is that fewer women than men vote.
Well, now, I know. I've read that you said that. But we got estimates from a great many of leaders in key states in 48, and in a number of them, they estimated that there were more women voting than men.
Mr. Roper, what do you think of some of the other major issues, such as taxes, for example? Would you care to discuss
them? I think you've got to be a little careful about taxes as an issue. The Republicans have to be a little careful, because we asked people recently this question. Suppose you were the President of the United States and you had to decide what to do about taxes. Would you be inclined to recommend that they be increased, decreased, or left about the same? Well, actually, 5% of the general public said they should be increased. Only 37% said they should be decreased, and 48% said they should be left about the same.
That's just what I said.
So if the people themselves were given the choice, 53% of the public would either increase taxes or leave them about the same, faced with the problems we're faced with.
Ab, do you want to... I'm sorry, India, do you want to comment?
I was just going to say, the American voter is a very smart individual, man or a woman, and I think to be trusted. I have great faith in them.
Ab?
Needless to say, we have great faith in the American voter, and I'm sure, Ted, that if these issues are presented properly, I appreciate the fact that 48% favor taxes as presently expressed to the American people, but I believe tied into Mr. Roper's views also the question of how to reduce taxes by proper economies and kept on the same level would fulfill the objective just
I'm
as well.
I'm sorry, but our time is up. Thank you, panel members. You've been listening to a discussion of the topic, How to Pick a Winner.